Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going? Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whenever you're checking out Only Stupid Answers, the best dang podcast you could put your moist little ears into. If you're joining the podcast right now and you don't know what that means, that's your fault. But
that's
also
true.
Thanks for joining us. I know I felt like I already attacked you, but that's the kind of energy this podcast has, so buckle up, bucko. Very excited.
You wanted a podcast that's really in your face and like...
You like that's like a Howard Stern.
Sure.
I say as someone who's really listened to Howard Stern. You know, he's like in your face.
Yeah, he's like, oh man.
One time we should try to like get all the isms of radio talk show hosts and do the whole bit. Like, you know, like
yeah,
you need to
yeah.
get the cadence down. You need a soundboard.
Yeah, there was a show that I like that I'm not supposed to like anymore. That whenever the... main character would like had to call into like a morning talk show, it was just like all sounds and they would say things that were made no sense, and it's like this is a good bit, it's a solid bit.
We got some fun stuff we're talking about today. This image popped up on my
phone. You got it ready to go. Just to remind yourself.
You know what, gang?
Never forget.
I want to give a quick plug to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. That's how we pay for the show. And we also do special shows just on there. You can get early access to our Watchmen reviews as well as Super TV Showdown. That's a show where Roxy Stryer joins us and we talk about all the superhero shows leading
every
up to Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Because you might be thinking like, hey, Crisis of Infinite Earths, because we've talked to some people, they're like, oh, I want to check it out. What should I do to get ready? And the answer is watch our show.
$5 a month.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's it.
And I just showed all the video people who are watching us live right now.
Yeah, because you can watch live video early.
Mm-hmm. All the good stuff.
Patreon.com/onlystupidanswers.
Yes, and you can listen to this podcast anywhere you want. You can go to youtube.com/onlystupidanswers for our movie reviews. We're able to see stuff early, get reviews out quick to you guys. We've watched a lot right now, and it's been fun. Also, diving into Watchmen's been good, and we have an early review for His Dark Materials that should be out right now, so go check that out.
Yeah.
We were able to see that early thanks to our pals over at Alamo Drafthouse.
I ate too much.
Oh, yeah. It was the pilot.
Yeah.
It was 1 hour.
But...
We ordered whole dinners and milkshakes and drinks.
But like
I ordered drinks.
But every time, you know, you're at Alamo, it's like, oh man, I want the food. And then they're like, do you want a free popcorn drink? Yes, please. And then you had to buy one, get one for milkshake. I'm like, yes,
yeah,
I'd like to try a
get one.
And then once it was all on my table, I'm like, I made a mistake.
Because they don't just give you like a tiny bag of popcorn.
No.
They give you a metal bowl.
Yes.
That's huge. And that's how you want your popcorn.
Yeah.
It's weird how they do everything right.
It's a really great place. If you have one where you live, that's where you should go to watch movies.
And it is, I get there's a little pricier than your Cinemarks and whatnot.
Yes,
but
that is true.
No one's talking in these movie theaters, and you're eating better food than the seventh bag of Sour Patch Kid that you ate that day.
Which,
that's
by the way, like we've got theaters out here like the Arclights that are like, oh,
yeah, we're privileged.
Don't talk and all this other stuff. But I've had so many bad experiences at Arclights, even with all that pretentious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Alamo, it creates a really nice environment with people that really care about these movies.
And they do events. They do community stuff. They make
well, the thing we went to was technically an event. But yeah, Video Vortex. Yeah.
If you want to go to my Instagram, I think I've posted a photo of myself with a mermaid.
Merman.
I don't know. I thought, well, the Disney Channel said mer dudes are what the boys are called. I don't want to.
When?
Oh, it was for an ad for the Little Mermaid TV show.
Gotcha.
Mer dudes. And then they like get like the guitar like going.
Then they have, wasn't there like a little orca that was like part of her team in that show?
I don't know it. I don't
okay,
remember.
Sorry,
I don't remember.
Don't quiz me on the.
I don't remember anything else about this show that Flounder may have had a girlfriend.
Because let's be honest, Nicktoons and Cartoon Network were better.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I mean, Roly Poly Oly was a show. I don't remember what happened on it. I don't remember PB&J Otter. Or PB on Otter? Pete and Pete. We're back to that. Anyways, we're way off the rails here.
Yes.
Talking about Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, whatever. That's what TV. And a segue that was in my brain that my mouth hasn't figured out yet is that I wanted to talk about a new TV streaming service, HBO Max.
Yes.
Because they did a big announcement this week. We knew HBO Max is coming out. They had a logo. Then they said, that logo looks like shit. So we're going to make a new logo
yeah,
and a bunch of new original programming.
Like a ton. Mm-hmm.
Disney Plus, you, I know it was a big move to come out first, but HBO Max came out with more.
More, and they also have to justify their significantly higher price point.
Did you see, you watched Silicon Valley.
Yes.
So you remember in season one, they you have our main team making that program, and then Hulu, the competition, comes out with like all the benefits.
Yeah.
And then they never really deliver on it because it becomes obsolete. That's not what's going to happen with HBO Max. You guys are going to be great.
Not.
No, I'm excited to watch all your shows. And specifically, they announced a bunch of DC shows. We actually talked about this on Super TV Showdown Live of what we want to see. But let's run down the docket. The big one is Green Lantern, and we're going to dive into that this episode. But they also announced DC Superhero High, and Elizabeth Banks is producing.
Yes.
Which could be fun.
Yes. It could be. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little trigger shy with Elizabeth Banks right now because she's also making Charlie's Angels, and the trailers for that have not... done anything for me.
No, but it could be okay.
Yes.
And I like her and stuff.
Yes, she's great.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't...
Yeah. Strange Adventures is the other one, mm-hmm. which sounds interesting because it basically sounds like Twilight Zone, but with DC superheroes.
So cool.
Yeah.
And like a mix of regular people interacting with DC superheroes, and there's so many.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, it's like, are we going to have... So hypothetically, let's say there's two episodes where Superman shows up. Is it going to be, because it's an anthology, is it going to be two different people playing Superman? Or is it going to be the same, we have one Superman for our anthology show. And then is that Superman going to be the same Superman, Tyler Hoechlin, or what? You know what I mean? Like, I'm interested to see how they answer those. Or is Superman just not going to show up at all because he's already on, he's already got a CW show?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Superman,
like,
Superman and Lois.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how this plays as an anthology show. We're just going to, because there are enough characters that you could say, like, this is where Ted Kord shows up. You know what I mean? This is Adam Strange isn't going to be his show. You know what I mean?
I mean,
is there going to be a Crypt Keeper character? Because I love that shit.
Who would you... Okay, so Marvel, with their What If, like The Watcher is going to be like their... That's perfect. Their anthology show. But what's...
Amazing.
What's DC's?
Monitor? That's a great question.
The Monitor's, it could work.
Kind of. Oh, you know what? I meant to ask you guys on Super TV... Or is the Monitor not really the Monitor? Is that the anti-Monitor we've been spending time with? Based on Revelation, which, by the way, he took that stuff way too face value. Like, oh, this little old piece of paper says maybe he destroys worlds. I guess he's a problem.
I mean, we saw in the CW show that he murdered worlds.
Yeah.
He tried to find a strong one.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, that is bad. So maybe this... Anyway, if you want more of that conversation, go to Super TV Showdown on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. The Monitor is a good choice. I think,
you know what? Brainiac could be a good one because it's like the little worlds he's collected or something like that.
Something like that.
Like he collects stories.
Maybe,
Queen of Fables?
Maybe Max Mercury, a speedster that's able to travel through dimensions or whatever. Or Rip Hunter.
That's a better... I think that's a better one because he's got the time bubble. Also, I really like... when he pops up in New Frontier, the little addendum, it's a very good bit. Also, if you did I know it's supposed to be like live action, but also if you kind of mix animation in there too, it wouldn't be the worst. Like, go to do like the multiverse stuff or just do weird stories. Have some fun with Etrigan, some horror shorts in there too.
Before we dive into Green Lantern, which is like the meat and potatoes of the episode, Halloween was last night for us when this drops on Monday. Did you see any costumes that were like, A pluses for you?
Mine? No.
Oh, yeah. Yours is really solid, by the way.
Thank you.
If you check out Sam Basher on Instagram, you'll see his Waluigi costume.
Oh, Metron on the Mobius chair.
Oh, actually, that'd be great.
There you go. Thank you, Danny M. in the chat. Appreciate it.
And you get
it.
Jeff Goldblum.
There you go. Ooh, yeah. Just kind of like listing his way through the cosmos, having a great time. Just like dipping his finger into like the star juice. You know, you get it. Like, you could just kind of imagine it. Like, he's got his Disney Plus show and then he does this.
Yeah.
Disney, don't you dare get in the way of this idea. It's gold. For other Halloween costumes, I wasn't like wowed by anything. I think there was one online that was super cute. This kid went as Eddie Brock in like the sweaty sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And his sleeve is tucked in.
Yes.
His arm goes out through another hole in the back and it leads around to a separate sleeve that looks like the Venom symbiote.
So smart.
So he like puppets it around and that was super cute.
That was really cool.
Everybody did Peter B. Parker.
Yes.
Everyone.
Which is a salt because you just get they sell the like the onesies online and then you just throw a coat over it and sweatpants and you're good to go. Technically barefoot though, by the way.
I mean, so he puts on boots. He puts on like he mix matches.
Yeah.
Because if he's walking around barefoot, that's gross.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do it, especially not in a city.
Not in New York City. Definitely don't. In another universe?
Well, I mean, he can do that because he's got the super strength. Oh, it's going to pierce his skin. He's going to step on glass. He'll be
fine. I mean, he gets punched a lot and he bleeds.
That's a good point. But he gets, are they super punches?
No, he's like been hit by cars and he bleeds.
But there's a car.
Tom Holland got hit by one full train and he started bleeding a little bit. I mean, he got up fine later.
Yeah.
Fine. No doctor's visit whatsoever.
I feel like doctor's visits would be really challenging if you were a superhero.
That's why you need the
night nurse.
Night nurse.
Rosario Dawson is not coming back to those.
No. The Philip Molina's was amazing. I didn't know what his costume was. That was just in the chat. That's why I mentioned that.
Yeah, Danny. Also, our pal, friend of the show, Game Over Greggy, Greg Miller, did, I don't even know. It's Guillermo del Toro's character from
Death Stranding.
And I was like, that's solid. Mm-hmm. That's a good thinking ahead on that one.
A lot of people were Untitled Goose Game.
Solid, I think. Solid choice. Mm-hmm.
I really wish I did that. But also, I'm proud of Waluigi.
You should be proud of Waluigi.
And just going to shout this out. My sister's family did all the Spider-Verses, the Spider-Mans. My niece was Spider-Gwen, and she got an adult haircut. She got a big girl haircut. Ooh. And so she didn't do the shaved head. She just got like a bob. So, yeah. But then they like pinned it up so it looks cool. Like it looks like that. And then they got her these two little metallic stickies, so yeah. It looks like an eyebrow piercing, and then they got the little ballerina shoes, and so she would like go on the ground and she'd do like the crouch pose. She was having a blast. My older nephew did Spider-Man Noir, and it was funny because the goggles clearly didn't fit his face, but he tried so hard. And my middle nephew was Miles, because he got that for Christmas or his birthday this year, and he loves them. Like, he loves the costume. So great. It's also a good costume. And he wore the hoodie.
It's a solid, very solid costume. It's
really cool. And then mom and dad were Mary Jane and from the movie. So she got like contacts and like did the freckles and stuff and a wig and stuff. It was pretty cool.
I think a good choices all around. Did anybody, I feel like the hard one to do out of that is the what was the girl with the mech? Spider mech?
Penny.
Yeah. That one would be.
You know those ones where you have a bunch of PVC pipes on you and you wear like four skeletons front and back, like they line you up?
Yeah.
Basically, your arms move the arms in front and behind you. You ever seen those?
Yeah.
Do that, but just make it like a big mech suit.
Just make yourself a big mech suit.
I already planned it.
So the one that stood out to me was actually we were in line at the CVS to get some, because we were going to a party, we were going to bring some alcohol. And I saw a person who was dressed as a lighthouse. And I was like, what the? And then I saw his girlfriend, and she was dressed like Robert Pattinson from The Lighthouse.
That's good.
I was like, this is good. I am a little bummed there's no Willem Dafoe in this equation. Feels like a missed opportunity. Maybe you're meeting up with your Willem when you're going to arrive wherever you're going. But I appreciate, again, thinking ahead.
It could have been Willem Dafoe as that like Sea King thing.
That'd be great. That'd be really good.
Next year, I want to do like multiple costumes, so I'm going to kind of like start planning a little bit, like keep an eye out for stuff.
I said I was going to start planning, and you poo-pooed that idea.
Well, don't we all say that? Don't we all? Everybody say that? You just got
to
be.
Disappointed in myself because I want to. I don't want to just buy a costume, Sam. I like to create. You know what I mean? I want to create something, and the problem is that's hard.
Yeah,
like, it's hard to do. And I think about it like about 5 days before Halloween, and all the easy stuff is still not cheap. Because I think I brought up Looking Glass. That'd be great, but that coat and suit he wears isn't going to be cheap.
But that's why you go to a thrift store.
Yeah, I know. But see, then you need the time to find the right things because you know, go to thrift stores. You're not going to just find the right thing right off the bat.
No, but
especially when you're my size.
But to be fair, we have the fanciest thrift stores in the whole world, so it was very easy to buy the stuff I needed.
Yeah,
and you just also you jerry rig it a little bit.
My goal
is that racist? Is that racist?
I don't think so. I don't think so. My
feels
goal
like it is.
is I would love to do the Mr. Knight. We actually have him right up there, the Mr. Knight version of Moon Knight. But that's not going to be cheap to put together.
Sorry, we just got a comment. We just got a comment. Fun fact, you may pronounce V-E-T, but you're wrong. It has and always will be V-I-T. That's from our Watchmen review. Please go check that out based on how we mispronounce names.
Wait, so you're saying it's Vit?
Yeah, Vite.
Sure.
That's a fun plug.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what? Let's go ahead and hop into what we're into this week because we got to see some cool costumes. But I did want to give a quick shout out to Basketball of Heads that's coming out from DC Comics.
Yes.
Also, our friends at DC Comics sent us a very thoughtful gift. You guys couldn't hear me because my head was turned around. They have a new high fantasy novel called The Last God. Their first the book of it is out. And if you're watching the video right now, you can see what it looks like. They sent us this like it's in a scroll wrapped around it with like a stamp on it. And it's the first issue. The art's amazing.
It's like got a wax seal.
Oh, it looks really cool.
Of course we didn't break the wax seal. Are you kidding me? We're collectors over here.
But on the back of it, it's a map. And I really want to look at the map.
Maybe you can find it online. Like, remember Doom Patrol had that like sticker on it? Of course I didn't peel that off.
No, why would I do that?
Crazy.
But this was this was super cool, and I really appreciate the guys over at DC for sending this. Go check out The Last God. The first book's out right now, your local comic book store. You can buy it digitally as well. Please support this. It's cool that they're investing in something not superhero.
Yeah, and I think that's already part of the Black Label too, which Hill House is a part of. That's Joe Hill's horror line that he's doing over at DC, which Basketful of Heads was the first issue. And it's funny because like very little scary things happen in it, but it's still great. Like I'm immediately on board with the characters. I like the setup a lot.
I want to go to Maine. They write about Maine so much.
Yeah, based on Stephen King and Joe Hill stories, I don't know if I ever want to set foot in that state.
I mean, but there's so many crime movies that are set in Los Angeles and we live here.
Yeah, that's true.
I've seen very little crime this week.
So speaking of comics this week, we also got the first issue of the new Hellblazer, which is part of the Sandman universe, but also it's part of the Sandman imprint, but it's also labeled as Black Label.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of like shuffling it over.
Yeah. And it's really solid. Big fan. And it's interesting because I never really read the Hellblazer run when it was part of Vertigo. And like I pick up an issue here and there, but it's interesting that Constantine in this is a textbook definition of the anti-hero, because he's technically saving the day, but he gets down and dirty, man. He makes some tough. This isn't those, you know, Captain America, like, we don't trade lives situation. Nope, that's not how Constantine plays.
He ain't afraid to do that.
And so, and it's really interesting, and they set up a kind of a classic, like, deal with the devil situation, but the quote-unquote devil that he's dealing with is super interesting, and I have no idea what it means for the rest of the series. And the characterization of Constantine and the way they toe this line of him being a total piece of shit, but you still, like... still kind of rooting for him to not it's more you're rooting for him to like figure his shit out and get better, you know what I mean? That whole stuff is really interesting. The way it contextualizes, like, the issue begins in like a big crisis level magic end of time situation, and he's like bitching about it the whole time because he hates this shit, he doesn't want to be a part of it. And it's just that perspective on it's really interesting. I just like this, like, somebody that walks into a room full of like demons and ghosts. He walks into a hospital room to visit a friend of his, and all these demons and ghosts are waiting because they know he's like vanished, and so they're waiting for him to show up. So they figured he'd come visit his friend. So they've all been tormenting his friend, just waiting for him to show up. And to have a character just, instead of being like, oh no, demons, he just treats them like they're pests. Like, just get out of here, man. Like, whatever. It's really cool. And so I'm on board. I'm probably going to keep picking it up. And even though I don't really associate Constantine with Sandman in any way, I'm glad Sandman Universe has brought back this version of the character.
I got to give a quick shout out to the Avatar: The Last Airbender comic series. Yeah. Let's count them really quick. The way they are released are in installments of three to a story. So each one has like are three parters. Let me go and pull it up really quick. I've read all of them that are written by Gene Luen Yang, who's currently writing Superman Smashes the Clan.
Which is great.
And worked on the creation of New Superman, which I'm a big fan of. Also, just an overall really good writer. I'm a big fan of him. And also, this is the same artist who does Superman Smashes the Clan, so it's cool that they're working together. Yeah. And this, the artist is still working on the series. There's just a new writer on it, but... these two made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books together, and all of them are amazing. Cool. They're all these cool. They pick up exactly where the last episode ended, the minute it ended. That's where this story begins, and it's just cool seeing these characters have to move into more mature positions. Where Zuko's the Fire Lord now. Yeah. So what does that mean? What does that mean for, like, do you just give all the land back to people? And there's in the first book, it deals with there's an Earth, the very first colony that the Fire Nation captured. Mm-hmm. The Earthbenders they've just gotten used to it now. They like that the Firebenders are there, and they don't want to leave because there's the whole infrastructure of that whole area is built around this. Yeah. So just yanking it out of there is not going to work.
It's been at least 100 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it's more complicated than that, even though they promised to give all the land back. So, like, what are they supposed to do?
That's very cool.
And the second volume deals with finding Zuko's mom, and ooh, you best believe I got very emotional. Yeah. I got teary-eyed. They bring Azula out of prison, and they have to go look and find him, and it's a very good mystery that deals with, like, spirits and stuff.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Also, a spirit that you've seen before that was, like, really... The Bad News Bears.
Ko the Face Stealer? He's my favorite.
It's that, yes.
Yeah.
But it's not him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
He's a favorite. I'm kind of bummed he never factored back in because he's so creepy.
He's very creepy.
That's great. And based on Superman Smashes the Clan, I'm not surprised that it's got that, because I read it after you read it and you talked about it on the show. One thing I really like about that, it's very easy to be like, oh, racism bad, because it is. And if you don't think racism's bad, you're crazy. You're a crazy person. I like how nuanced it's exploration of
for that. A 1940s radio play.
Yeah. It's nuanced. Like the specifically Regine Lun Yang's take on it, the like when they're burning a cross on the lawn, and then this group of black men come to help, and the dad immediately wants them off. It's like, this is complicated.
Yeah.
Like, this is complicated, because that's how his dad wants to be viewed as American. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that aspect has been integrated in his worldview of what being an American is. Like, that's tragic. Like, that's really sad.
It's
interesting. It's a really, yeah. And that's the cool thing about, like, you can explore these complicated issues and still have Jimmy and Lois and Clark. They are they get to be the good guys. They're not, realistically, if this was actually happening at that time, they would probably have issues too, but that's not what comics are supposed to do. They get to be the good guys. They get to be the right ones. And then the other characters are learning and growing and dealing with this really complicated issue. It's really smart. He's doing really good work.
And I also like the way that Superman's parents look, at least in this dream like sequence.
Yeah.
Or it's also 1940s.
Well,
so.
And the way I like the way they're kind of integrating this idea of how Superman processing his own identity as an immigrant. Really, really fascinating stuff. So I know Sam was singing its praises a couple weeks back, but seriously, if you haven't had a chance to pick that up, highly recommend it. There's going to be two more installments, and I'm really excited for them.
So, and then bringing it back around,
yeah.
Where's Green Lantern at right now in the comics? Because Grant Morrison's got him.
Well, he fought God, and then because it's Grant Morrison, he couldn't help but, like, because at first the original pitch was Space Cop. We're really going to do, like, your general cop procedural, except the perp that's kind of doping up and trying to kidnap somebody is God, and he's doping up and trying to kidnap Earth. You know what I mean? Like, that's the situation. But it's grown into, there's a multiversal threat that all the Green Lanterns from alternate dimensions have had to team up. And I think our universe basically got rewritten, and now Hal Jordan is a Dark Star. And I think that's, so now we're getting the Dark Star spinoff of Green Lantern in the comics. That's where things are at in the comics for Hal Jordan.
How long is Grant Morrison working with the Green Lantern and Hal Jordan storyline?
I don't know.
Because I felt like this is like the end of his first run.
Yeah, this first like season or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested to see where it...
It could be long running. He was on Batman for a very long time.
And Justice League too, right?
Yeah, JLA. Yeah, he was a long-term JLA writer. So it could be a minute, but it is. It's a lot. I can't swear that I know everything that's happening all the time in the book, but I do enjoy it.
That's kind of why I'm not going to read it in one big go. Yeah, so maybe there's some seeds that are planted that pay off later.
Yeah.
Because what I read so far, I was already lost in two issues.
Yeah.
Three issues. But hey.
But then there's those like storms that are fighting in the background and stuff like that.
There's some cool stuff happens. But you know what is also cool is that HBO is investing in a Green Lantern TV show.
Yeah.
From Greg Berlanti,
mm-hmm.
the helmsman of Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, Batwoman,
Titans, Doom Patrol, Stargirl, I think.
Probably. I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
Blind Spot on NBC.
Yep.
Not a superhero show, but he made a show.
He also did, what was that? I Love You.
Oh, Love, Simon.
Yeah, Love, Simon.
Yeah,
he directed
really
that.
Yeah, and that was really beloved.
Yeah.
So he can do good.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good. I mean, he I think it was him and Mark Guggenheim wrote the script for the not great Green Lantern movie, but I think now in hindsight, I don't think that was on. There was a lot of studio interference on that one, so it might not have been them, because obviously they've had a very long successful run with DC properties since then. Yeah, Greg Berlanti, Michael Green, and Mark Guggenheim all had a hand in Green Lantern, which wasn't great. But so now we're coming back to it.
I was so excited watching those first trailers because I had no idea what the hell that was. Because I just didn't know comics back then. I was so not aware of what Green Lantern was. And it was like, oh, you imagine stuff and it becomes to life. And I was like, cool, this is a genie situation. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was super, super fucking bummed when that movie came out. So I'm excited to see what they could possibly do with, hey, man, you're seeing with Doom Patrol and Titans, Doom Patrol specifically, if you get like a smaller show order, not 24 episodes, you can really flourish. And with these other streaming services, 13 episodes seems to be the prime area to kind of operate and stick with that. I think it works really well. And also the idea of it going into space and doing like this, just something totally different from what their other shows normally are. I think that's way up. That just makes sense for HBO to go big and bold where it's like, hey, we need like a false equivalency kind of, but like a Stranger Things where it's like, what's something big in sci-fi and could really get younger audiences excited? Green Lantern could be that.
They might even be thinking like, what's our Game of Thrones? You know what I mean? Like, what's our like big fantasy thing? And I think Star Trek Discovery has been big for CBS All Access. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a desire for this stuff. Now, before we go any further into our pitches for Green Lantern, let's stop by and talk about a new product that is helping us out in our day-to-day.
May I?
Yes, please.
Today's episode is brought to you by a very special friend of the podcast. Now, do you guys experience stress or have anxiety or chronic pain or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? Well, you're not alone. Many of us do. Personally, I don't think I shy away from this. I have crazy anxiety. It's not something to brag about. And I've been, you know, I've tried my different ways of dealing with it. And I think we've all gone through different avenues. But I really want to talk about our friends over at Feels. Now, what is Feels? Feels is a premium CBD that's delivered directly to your doorstep. And Feels naturally helps to reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. Personally, I've just noticed since taking Feels, I've just tested it out a little bit since they sent us a few little tasters. Because you are able to take it under your tongue, which I appreciate over gummies and a lot of other ways of ingesting CBD. I was able to notice right off the bat that I was overall a little bit more at ease, and I know if I stuck to this that I would be able to get into a pattern that would be healthier and I'd be able to enjoy my days better, which is definitely a plus. And like I said, just taking a few drops of Feels under your tongue and you'll feel the difference in minutes. That's how I felt it. And I have people in my life who have used CBD when it comes to trouble sleeping. I know there's a lot of people my age that have a very big problem when it comes to insomnia, and Feels might be right for you when it comes to dealing with that. And if you're new to CBD, no worries. Feels offers free CBD hotline and text message support to help you guide your personal experience. Also, if you go to their website, you can learn a lot about this product and how they've used CBD to help their customers. Feels works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, hangover, or addiction. Join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Guys, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too.
Become a member today by going to feels.com/stupid and you'll get 50% off.
That's not 15, that's 50. Fit half off your first order.
And you also get it with free shipping, which I don't mind you, I'm always a big fan of the free shipping.
So that's half off and free shipping.
It's insane. That's feals.com/stupid to become a member and get 50% off. Automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/stupid.
Gang, just check them out. See what they're about. We trust them, and I hope you guys enjoy them too. Now back to the show.
So, Sam, Green Lantern, you know what? Greg Berlanti's called you up. He's dialed up your number, and he's like, Sam Basher, I want you to be the pilot this Green Lantern show for me. Mm-hmm. What do you pitch? Or he wants to hear your pitch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I immediately am like, please take me off your call list. I don't want these anymore because I know it would be bullshit. Then he calls back and I'm like, again, I said it. I talked to the guy before. You don't sound like the same person who picked up the phone. Please get off this. Please delete my number. Man, I've been getting so many goddamn robocalls. Hilton Rewards wants to give you a free trip to Cancun.
I've been in the car with you when you get some of those robocalls.
There was someone who tried to, they're like, we're auditing your father. It was like, I called my dad. I was like, hey, is this real? He's like, no, it's not real. And it's like, so they called back and I was like, hey, so like, What info do you need from me? He was like, I just need like his phone number. I'm like, oh yeah. Just like, well, what am I gonna say to him when I give this number to them, or like when I give you the number? And they were like, oh, you know, we're auditing him. I'm like, yeah, like for what?
Yeah.
And they're like, they start getting really angry at me, and then they hung up.
It was classic. Nice.
But you know, Greg Berlanti's probably more of a class act than that. So I'd have to assume at this point he wouldn't be like that. So I'd pitch that. You get the origin story in the first episode. That's fine.
Yeah.
Pitch it the way that the Flash pilot worked, where it should feel like kind of like a movie.
Yeah.
When you're getting him off world. He's starting to train. He goes up against maybe a small potatoes threat.
This is
your beat cop. Like it's your first arrest or something like that. But uh-oh, this guy's got a bomb strapped to his chest. And uh-oh, he's got to help him out. And he ends up in the first like three episodes, have him out in space.
Yeah.
We have Hal. Let's say Hal Jordan for now.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to.
I mean, we have options.
We have so many to pick from. You have him learning what it means to be a cop himself, because he's not a cop. He's a fighter pilot.
True.
And
actually, are any of the Green Lanterns cops?
Ryan, the redhead.
Guy Gardner?
Was kind of one.
Okay. Yeah, because it's
and
like...
John was in the military. But he wasn't a cop.
He wasn't a cop. And I think he's primarily known for, outside of being in the military, for doing construction, for being an architect.
Yeah.
And my favorite... Just the timing and all that stuff. Kyle Rayner. Because I love the idea of, because he has space cop, but also tool that lets you imagine anything. So giving that to an artist, a young artist, that's super cool.
Yeah, but what's cooler is if you gave someone with anxiety that's
the other, Jessica Cruz, because I think those all represent different aspects of it. Because I like Kyle because he represents the creativity of it, which I like a lot. But Jessica represents the more modern idea of it representing will versus fear, overcoming, that was focusing on the overcoming great fear part. So Jessica's another great choice.
Simon's
a cool character. I don't know if his story factors into those elements at all, but
yeah, they do. Overcoming fear, and it's written at a time where, like John, I think John Stewart was written at a time. His origin story's super racist for Hal Jordan. He looks very bad if you will read that original comic. John Stewart is saying like, "Hey, this like senator." Basically, the senator's like, "Yeah, he's racist, like 100%." And Hal Jordan calls him a bunch of names and was like, "How dare you say that?" And they find it was real, and he doesn't really apologize for it. And they're like, "And you know what? You are a Green Lantern. We'll move on from this." And I'm not at fault at all. Yeah, it's awful. And I think Simon Baz is a reflection of that with just a slight more nuance and grace when it comes to storytelling about what it means to be someone who's Middle Eastern American and overcoming the fear of leaving your house and dealing with just everyday casual racism and very overt violent racism.
Yeah.
And that in your pilot might be a weird take. Not that you couldn't do that, but it's weird that might be the character that you choose. That being said, going back to the pitch. In the first three episodes, you have him dealing with the scope and the scale of what he has to deal with, because you have to learn what it means to be a cop. But also, you're dealing with a sector and having a character have to come to grips, grapple what that means exactly, because you might have the streets or the quadrant that you deal with in your city, and that's already a lot.
Yeah.
You need to be able to be on call and get there and help those people when you're supposed to,
and
enforce and uphold a law that you need to somehow come to terms with as well, because he's kind of yanked off Earth and all of a sudden he's like, and you're a cop.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if that happened to real cops. Like, you picked up a badge and then you're like, guess you're a cop. Those are Santa Claus rules, and thank God we don't live in that wild west world.
Yeah, they're Santa Claus rules, because it would be more like you pick up a gun. It's like, well, I guess you're in charge now.
So I like the idea of having a character having to come to terms with that, and you need to be able to bring the characters back home, kind of like Voltron, where they eventually, like, you got to come back home after your big space adventure and deal and figure out what that means. Like, you get to meet his family, you get to see Carol. Mm-hmm. And also, I like the idea, if we establish in the series that it's who's his dad, who's not his dad, his space dad, his purple space dad that gives him his ring. He's not a dad.
Abin Sur.
Yeah. There's a reason why he came to Earth specifically. Yeah. And I think we start seeing that a little bit, that there are more alien threats that are coming to Earth every single day. I think it'd be fun to have it be like a wider DC universe where it's like, this isn't just like a world with just Green Lantern. Like, have it be a world where like Superman's here and stuff. Like, why are aliens constantly coming here? Supergirl kind of plays with that. And once our Green Lantern comes back to Earth and starts seeing their family, he starts dealing with threats specifically from Earth. He's able to leave every once in a while and do like big cosmic like threats.
But we save up the budget a little bit for every few episodes.
Uh-oh, big space bottle thing. Episode. Yeah. He's making stuff inside of this mall. Like, I don't know. You figure something out. But I like the
for
idea.
For some reason, every three episodes, his ring doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. It's very important. Oh, I'm too afraid.
Yeah. When you have to recharge it, it's not like you just hold it up to the lantern. You have to set it on there for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like a cell phone.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Hey, but you know, everyone's got to be nerfed somehow. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the 13 episodes, you have like a parallax. Not exactly.
Yeah.
Don't need to retread what the movie was. But I think either dealing with fear is really interesting, or dealing with like the Dark Stars are like a more violent police force, right? Mm-hmm. Is what they kind of Black Stars.
Yeah.
Dealing with like the antithesis of that, I think, or Manhunters, because that's a classic where it's like
Manhunters are good. So you never watched the animated Green Lantern show?
I just realized it was on the DC Universe app.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I was genuinely surprised with how good it was. And the first season deals with the Red Lantern Corps, and the second season deals with the Manhunters, which ends up getting tied up with the Anti-Monitor. Like, it's crazy.
Cool.
And they did something cool where they gave him, because he's supposed to go to the outer sectors, and it's too far for him, for his ring to just take him. So he actually has a ship that he goes on, and there's like a crew. It's him, Kilowog. I can't remember there's an AI that runs the ship, that she's part of it as well. It might be Aya. And then one red, and of course you got the one Red Lantern that's like, I guess I'll begrudgingly help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Classic. And they've got cool Red Lanterns, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it was an interesting setup for a show, that I feel like there's some parallels with what you're talking about here as well. One of the best bits is at because he's been out at the far sector fighting the Red Lanterns, and at the end of the at the beginning of the second season, he comes back, and so since he's been gone for so long, they had a replacement, and it's Guy Gardner, and he immediately
like him.
Hates him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everybody loves Guy Gardner more than Hal Jordan, and so there's just this fun rivalry.
Oh, okay, so it is split up kind of. I think it aired as two seasons, but it's technically one. See, if you want to go watch it, it's 26 episodes.
Yes.
So you can go watch all
and it's those. Interesting because we never got to Sinestro becoming Sinestro is still a Green Lantern, I think, by the end of the season. So, but he's kind of like, there's some suspicious stuff going on there.
And I think a fun exploration by the end of it is revealing the multiple lantern, like different colors of lanterns.
Yeah, I feel like don't do that too quick.
Yeah, kind of like earn it a little bit.
Yes.
But also talk about when he like learns about it, you can learn that like there are different symbols for the other like lanterns. And that's all we say. Like yeah. We can come back to it later. And I think that'd be cool. Also, if this show started introducing other lanterns like John and Guy and everybody and Kyle, give them a different ring, because they did that constantly in the comics.
Yeah, and they never stuck to it. Like, they'd always flirt with the idea of like, Kyle Rayner is now Kyle Rayner was the big one, because obviously a whole generation like me grew up with him. So it's the same shit they did with Wally when they brought Barry back. It's like, no, Wally's still cool.
They made him kill a bunch of innocent people.
Not that. Not that. But it's one of those like, no, he's still cool, because he had him pair off with Ion, who was the good version of Parallax. Mm-hmm. And then he became a White Lantern. And it's just, they can't. And then he was the Omega Lantern when he was with the Omega Man. And they can't like commit to just let him be different. Mm-hmm. There's seven of them.
When they rebooted Titans, why wasn't Kyle a part of it? You know?
It would have been so cool.
He joined it at the end, right when it got canceled. It would have
been really cool, especially since he's supposed to be a younger Lantern. Now we've got Teen Lantern, who I'm a big supporter of. But like, seriously, for my money, fine, you want to keep Hal around, fine. For my money, Hal should still be bad or dead. Guy should be a Red Lantern, because I always think it's super cool when he's a Red Lantern. John could still be a Green Lantern, but maybe he can be one of the other ones. Kyle, have him be a White Lantern. And then maybe your only Green Lanterns are like Simon and Jessica, and maybe now Teen Lantern. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or some variation.
Maybe Hal's like leading him. And he's like,
if you want to keep Hal around, that's fine. But then Simon and Jessica, and then have Kyle be off doing, like, because I love, don't get rid of Kyle, but have him be a White Lantern. That's cool.
What if he was dead?
No.
What if he was the one that went evil?
What if Wally killed them?
Could happen. You never know. I think introducing like other lanterns and the idea, like, it's kind of fun having an ability that's transferable like that, where you could maybe Hal and John know each other. That could really streamline a lot of stuff. Like, they don't have to know each other. Like, they don't need to be like blood brothers.
They kind of did that in Geoff Johns' Green Lantern run. There was I think it was called First Flight, was like kind of the flashback to his slight retooling of the origin, where him and because Hal's Air Force and John's Marines, they're a bunch of Marines are at a bar and a bunch of Air Force are at a bar, and they get in a bar fight, and John and Hal fight, and that's so they kind of know each other,
kind of flirt with each other.
They kind of flirt with each other.
I mean, it could happen. You never know. And the idea of maybe setting up Carol early, like she doesn't have to be a villain, because I think wasn't it Star Sapphire was like, if you don't love me, I'll fucking murder your family, vaguely.
Yeah.
But then they're like, no, she's love.
Mm-hmm.
Question mark. Yeah. No, they're good. They're basically good at this point.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because they were trying to do, you know, stuff like rage and greed were bad, but they also tried to have one that, you know, because love should be positive, but the Star Sapphires are kind of antagonistic. Also, very little clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Very one of my favorite ones. I think John Stewart becomes a Star Sapphire at one point, and he has the big like chest window.
Good.
It was a pretty good design.
You know what? My favorite though is Compassion, because it's just so. It feels nefarious. The Compassion that Lanterns could emulate other lantern powers, but also they're all prisoners that mm-hmm. have to wear it so yes. they can learn what they did wrong. And it's like, it's just really complicated.
Yeah. The one that always bummed me out was Hope, because it's kind of lame.
It's boring. It only works when there's a Green Lantern nearby.
Yeah. It's really.
Why would you want to be there?
Yeah, it's really Saint a
Walker
bummer.
Is cool, though.
The designs of all of them are cool.
And that's what what they're like, it's $500 million an episode to make the Green Lantern show.
Yeah.
Whatever it ends up being.
And I was also bummed with the Red Lanterns, because it's like, oh, Red Lantern's cool. I remember when I was a kid, I designed my own Red Lantern, but it was just Green Lantern, but red.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like,
red's a cooler color.
No, they vomit blood and it's blah. I'm like, no, it's gross.
It's napalm. Yeah. Napalm blood. I love it. Also, your heart gets eaten out from the inside.
Yeah, it's rough.
Like, if you didn't get off, you die.
Look forward to that.
Yellow Lantern's pretty much safe if you wanted to be a bad guy with no other, like, repercussions. Like, the Orange Lantern, that's just one person.
Yeah, that's why I do like that. And all the other Lantern Corps, all the people he killed that are, like, constructs he makes, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they did this whole issue one time where it was like, what'd he do? He took over a Brainiac. Like,
oh, cool.
Brainiac like 5 or whatever, the one, not Brainiac 5, but the one that's a robot.
Yeah.
And he was kind of controlling and keeping it alive, and eventually it tried to turn on him. He killed it. He's like, oh, thank God I can die. And it's like, no, now you're stuck with him for eternity. Bummer.
Yeah, I think Larfleet shows up in the animated series, and it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty solid.
All the villains are cool. I would like them just showing as many weird aliens as they possibly could.
Yeah.
Remember when they, so in Injustice 2, you can play as Atrocitus with Dexar, yes. and that's fun. Atrocitus looks really bad in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and there's a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
He's like a T-Rex person, basically.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he just looks better.
He should look like Koopa, King Koopa at the end of the Mario Brothers movie. When he's a T-Rex person.
Or one of the Goombas.
Yeah, there you go.
Just make the head bigger.
So for me, you've heard me say this before. I've said it. I was always surprised with the success of Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I was always surprised that they didn't try and do a Green Lantern show on CW to try and rehabilitate the brand. Because there's this sense of, they announced a Green Lantern Corps movie, and they kept pushing it off and kept pushing it off and kept pushing it off. And there was this sense that, like, it's toxic, you know, you can't, whatever.
It can't be that bad.
Wait, that's because it's weird, because it's like, you have one bad
Batman,
movie.
Batman.
Yeah, Batman had, like, a bunch of bad movies, and we all got past that. You did three Zack Snyder movies before you started making good ones,
and like, those are all DC.
Yeah,
like, all DC's bad. By the way, isn't it weird that George Clooney was Batman?
Yes, very much.
It's really hard to remember because Val Kilmer was Batman.
Yes.
That's fine. Michael Keaton was Batman. Christian yes. Bale's Batman. Ben Affleck was Batman.
Yeah.
I cannot, for the life of me, convince myself that I've seen that movie a bunch of times. That George Clooney is Batman.
It's weird that you said you've seen it a bunch of times.
Bunch of times.
So many times
as a kid. Come on.
That was in Phantom Menace. I had a very similar relationship with where I saw them in theaters. And I was too young to realize, like, to articulate, wait, was that movie bad? Mm. Like, I couldn't, like.
I would have been much younger than you. So I'm like, oh, cool. And this is pod racing.
Yeah,
and I would have been.
Because
that's exactly what I wanted.
You're not used to, like, bad movies. Like, it's Batman, and I like Batman.
Why would I go see a bad movie?
So I should like this movie, like, because I don't know why it's bad. Like, Darth Maul was cool.
Mm-hmm. Double Why lightsaber.
I like that movie.
What, couldn't ponytails?
Yeah, a lot of ponytails. So I was thinking, my thought was, you know, obviously if you're doing it for CW money, you can't go off doing space adventures. You can't do it. So this was my thought back in the day, especially because Flash does some impressive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With its CG and everything, considering it's TV. I do kind of have to throw some of the stuff with blood work under the bus this season, where the goop covers the hand. Mm-hmm. It looks really dated.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, it looks really dated. And like you said, Supergirl's been teasing some alien stuff, right? So my thought was...
She might be an alien.
And there was, they'd been flirting with the, like, Easter eggs that maybe John Diggle was John Stewart. That was the fan thing. I was like, what if you committed that? What if you did a spinoff where you had John going back to his hometown or whatever, and he runs into an old buddy of his that's Hal Jordan. You get like an older, more seasoned actor, and you find out that like Hal has been a Green Lantern, because we teased Ferris Air and Hal Jordan in those shows as well. So he's been off doing the Green Lantern thing for a while. A threat comes to Earth. Hal is incapacitated. Oh, my cool bit was that I thought would be cool, because here's my issue. I actually kind of don't like Jon Stewart. I think he's kind of boring. Mm-hmm. I know he, for like, because of Justice League Unlimited and all that. Like,
and he was more interesting in that.
He's kind of like the go-to Green Lantern for a lot of people, which is cool, because Hal doesn't really do it for me either. But I just, of the Green Lanterns, for some reason, Jon Stewart just doesn't click for me. But if you make him Diggle, I love Diggle. And so if you say that's Jon Stewart, like that character is really interesting. And so I was thinking, what if Hal got incapacitated? And as the ring goes to find somebody else, John's like, screw that. And he grabs it and he basically decides, I'm a Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to forget what this ring's going to try and do. Through sheer force of will, I'm deciding that I'm a Green Lantern right now. And he saves the day. He does the thing, he saves the day. And so Hal's like, well, here's the deal. For some reason, it's basically the Men in Black setup. A ton of aliens are just coming to Earth as kind of like a waypoint. Like, we've got them all here, so we need agents specific. I'm going to go off and do space junk. We need agents stationed here to keep track of the here stuff and figure out why every alien's coming to Earth for whatever reason. And so it's the bulk of the series is Earthbound as John and maybe a partner, maybe Guy, maybe Kyle. Maybe you, because it's a CW scenario, you've got your guy in the chair, maybe two or three guys in the chair. You could have all the Earth. You could have Jessica, you could have Simon, you could have Kyle. They're all there. They're all part of this like CSI Miami team of Green Lanterns.
Very good one to pick. Yeah. Very good one. It's more John's of an NCIS, but go on.
Okay. But John's your main guy. And that's your team of Earth Green Lanterns as they're solving stuff. And you start, I was thinking like, maybe you start off with like Legion, which I think is an army of yellow robots that, you know, get some of the C-listers out of the gate. You build to Sinestro, because maybe even Sinestro season two, because he's your top dog. Like you said, you have to earn the multiple lantern corps, because mm-hmm. then you get, it just gets too bogged down. You know what I mean? So but my understanding is that's not, if this is full, this show is supposed to be full space stuff. That's crazy to me.
Solomon YR says, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't need them to spend a bunch of time on Earth. Go big or go home and just keep the story centered on the core in space, which would be really cool.
Yeah, you think money-wise, like how do you do Kilowog? I guess they've got, in Discovery, they've got Doug Jones in full makeup. Like he's in a full costume the whole time. So maybe you do Kilowog practically.
I think you could do Kilowog with CGI, and I think it just depends on how much
money you're able to throw.
Look at Game of Thrones dragons; those were used.
Yeah, but like that's a lot of money.
It is, but hey, that's what they want to invest.
Okay, I mean, I'm all for it. But no, don't do the CGI costumes. Give us some real costumes. Come on.
Yeah.
Please, for a little bit. And I want it to be. I don't know about you, but I'd like it to be in the CW universe because I want to see Barry hang out with Green Lantern and bring Oliver back, maybe through time travel shenanigans or something.
So that's not going to happen. I just don't see that happening. But I wouldn't mind a wider DC universe. I think that'd be really cool. And also, just like, shouldn't Green Lantern and Superman hang out more? Or shouldn't he be more wary of Superman? Just keep an eye on him?
Let me ask you this.
Caitlin Conway wants Ryan Reynolds. Go on.
You know what? I'm honestly surprised that they didn't. An idea I floated out there every once in a while is like opening a Justice League, Green Light crashed Earth, and it's Ryan Reynolds, Hal Jordan, and he dies letting the Justice League know, like, hey, Darkseid's literally knocking at your door, and then his ring goes and finds Jon Stewart. Mm-hmm. And so now, there you go. That was your... Or, at that point, the Ryan Reynolds stock was back on the rise because Deadpool's like, just bring him back. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to care. Just bring Ryan Reynolds back, give him a cooler costume, and call it a day. You know what I mean? And just move on. But let me ask you what you would prefer. This Green Lantern show on HBO Max, would you prefer it to be in the CW Arrowverse and hang out with Grant Gustin's Barry Allen, or would you prefer like a Titan situation where maybe this Green Lantern does get to hang out with Barry Allen and Oliver Queen, but it's their own version of Barry Allen?
I'd rather have that.
Why?
Just because those shows are ending, and that doesn't mean that they have full ownership of who those characters are. I like what they've done with them, but also with a budget, wouldn't it be cool if they made Flash look cooler, or they made the Green Arrow actually feel like a Green Arrow? Like, sure, Batman Light is fun for Arrow, and we've liked it for like a long time. It's not like a bad, it wasn't a bad decision. I liked it.
Yeah.
But like, you can do new incarnations of these characters, and it would be interesting because I like the thought process for Titans for the most part. Like, Ian Glenn has been an interesting choice for Batman.
Well, I think...
Could you imagine if he was like, oh, a new Green Lantern? Like, he jaunts down the street as, like, Adam West Batman. It's like, Ian Glenn, go to sleep. We know you're Alfred. Go to sleep.
Here's the thing that I think makes me, like, see that side of it. Because, I it'd be cool to see the Flash we've known for a while hanging out with him. But, like, I love Manu Bennett as Deathstroke. But S.A. Morales... Asai Morales is so good as Deathstroke, and it's just a different take. You know what I mean? And so, I'm open to a different take of Flash and a Green Arrow.
Have some fun.
Yeah,
that's all we're doing. Having fun. By the way, you said Green Lantern First Flight a while ago. That's the name of the Six Flags ride at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
I also think it's
bring
the
a
name...
Coke can and you can get half off tickets every weekend.
I think it's also the name of the animated movie they tried to do.
It is. First Flight, though, it felt like what I assume being sterilized felt like. It moves in one axis, up and down. I mean, I guess it's not 3D.
Not the animated movie.
X and Y, no Z axis.
Yeah.
So it kind of yanks you up and down and side to side, and it makes the shape of the Lantern logo, and then you're done. But you're sitting in this like cradle type position, and it just bangs your nards right into dust. I'll be honest. Anybody sitting in those chairs walked out with a little bit of a waddle. Like you just got off a horse.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. So if it's better than that ride and better than the movie, we're off to a bang up start. You want to go on the ride?
No.
I don't know if you. I think you're too tall for it. I don't know. So I'd be like, oh, bummer.
Oh no, I can't go on it.
Do you ever go to Six Flags Magic Mountain? By the way.
No.
So do you know they have a Riddler ride there?
Because I'm not a big roller coaster guy.
But do you know they have a Riddler ride there?
I'm aware.
So do you know it's a stand up ride? It's cool. No. So it has the same harness that the Green Lantern ride has.
Yeah.
But then when you sit down, they're like, you can be seated, but if you wanted to, you can just stand up and you're still safely put inside the thing. It's fine.
I don't think I like any of that.
Yeah. You gotta get out of your comfort zone. You gotta
no,
try
man,
it.
I don't, I've, listen, okay. I've tried the Hulk ride at Universal Orlando.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a roller coaster.
No,
it's a roller coaster, and then Space Mountain, and I just don't like the feel. I don't like the feeling roller coasters create for me.
Space Mountain.
I know it's tame, but I'm also a tall boy, and you just get these little flashes of like beams and stuff, and I just feel like my head's gonna get clipped off. You know what I mean?
Old optometrist used to say that his son stood up on Space Mountain and got a black eye.
Like, it was just a black eye. Didn't Audrey clip her finger on Space Mountain? Like, her hand went up.
Sick when you said that, because I feel like that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's tiny.
Well, they did that test a while ago. Again, optometrist.
Yeah.
Dr. Zeltzer. He he said that they did a test. Everyone listen up. My eye doctor's talking. He said they did a test where they put, like, 6-foot beams up, like metal poles, in the seats. And they just had it run because they apparently didn't test for the height.
Yeah.
And they came back a foot shorter. Dr. Zeltzer, I would love you to come on here and explain yourself.
Explain yourself. No, here's one thing we do need to do. And we probably should have prepared for this ahead of time. Who won? What Green Lantern would you choose? Not what you think they're going to choose. It's going to be Hal. But what would you choose? And who would you cast?
Also, really important, I was about to ask, since they've adapted video games, board games, into movies and TV shows, do you think they'll ever adapt roller coasters? And I just realized Disney did that. It's called Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion movie.
So yeah, those are technically not, I think those are called dark rides.
That's basic. It's a theme park attraction.
Yeah, but it's not a roller coaster because I enjoy those and I don't enjoy roller coasters.
You're a fool. It feels like what a plane crash feels like, but you land at the end.
It's so much fun. And you also jump out of a plane with a parachute, you crazy person.
It's fun. fun. You're missing out. Oh, God. A healthcare enrollment just came through. Gang, being an adult fucking blows. Let's talk about superheroes.
So who would be your Green Lantern and who would you cast?
And I can't pick Ryan Reynolds.
You can pick whoever you want.
I feel like I can't pick Ryan Reynolds.
I feel like he'd be, at this point, a little pricey for your HBO Max show.
Okay, let's go with kind of like an oddball one, but someone you've seen in HBO properties before and done more dramatic roles that we've seen in movies this year. I don't know. I think you might be getting a feel for who I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But this person has comedic chops, and I think that could really help with a show like this. But it can do a more serious role. Thomas Middleditch as your Hal Jordan. As that, like, think of like a tech billionaire type character, like in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. He gets the ring. Uh-oh. What's he using that ring to do to get out of awkward situations? Now, a real serious answer. Who's a good... You know who would be a really good Guy Gardner? The guy who plays Hawk on Titans.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Also, Tyrese has always campaigned to be Jon Stewart. It's like, no, your personality? You're 100% Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
100%, man. You're not stoic enough to be Jon. Are you kidding me? You know what? I will say for Jon Stewart, because we just... This review will come to youtube.com/onlystupidanswer soon, but we just watched Waves, and there's a scene like... Sterling K. Brown is a superlative actor. There's a scene where he's working out with his son, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, he'd be a good Jon Stewart.
He would be a great Jon Stewart.
By the way, Idris Elba, everyone's like, he's not playing Deadshot in the new Suicide Squad movie, yeah, but he has a daughter. So you're like, okay, so that was all of Deadshot's stuff in the first movie. He's probably Deadshot. But what if they're like, oh, we have... We're actually bringing in another army liaison to like oversee this new Suicide Squad that you're building, and there's actually some like cosmic threat. So Jon Stewart's going to be this Boom. Marine. Yeah. Jon Stewart's going to be watching over what you guys are doing and seeing if it's up to snuff. And then all of a sudden, when you get into a big fight, boom, boom, Green Lantern ring pops up.
That'd be cool.
And then he goes off to his HBO series. Just everyone's like, wait, do I have to watch the movie to understand what's happening here? It's a lot of references.
And then just like everybody thought Scott Eastwood in the first Suicide Squad was Hal Jordan.
They did. He was just a dead person.
He was just a dude. What did he do in that movie?
So I watched it recently. Thank you for this plug. Over on One More Time with Sam Basher, Pat Graziosi joined me to rewatch that movie. So he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And
but did he die with Croc?
He died because Enchantress's brother Incubus came back to life, and he started killing people in a bank? Train station.
Yeah.
Who could say? Because it's a train station, then he gets upstairs and there's a vault. So,
okay, cool.
Who cares? Yeah. But what happened was Enchantress was tasked with taking a bomb that had a 2-second timer on it and then putting it on the boy, on the bad boy, and coming back. But then she runs away.
Yeah.
And what happened was is Joel Kinnaman armed it for a second. Enchantress grabbed it, was going to take it, but then dropped it, so he stopped it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, there was still... We find out, at the end of the movie, he just left that bomb down there, and then he walked away from it later. Yeah. And so they go and pick up that bomb, this big bomb that they left downstairs, and then they set it, and apparently they can't change the timer now.
Yeah.
So it has 1 second on it, so Scott Eastman has to,
click
it to make it go off. I've never seen the extended cut. I have no idea if it improves his character. Couldn't tell you. Scott Eastwood is interesting, but he kind of, not for... I'm sure he's good and stuff. I just haven't seen a role that's wowed me.
Yeah.
Specifically, Aaron Taylor Johnson. What about a bad choice? What?
What about specific Rim? What about Pacific Rim Uprising?
Jesus Christ! Take a breath. Take a breath. You're not breathing enough.
So for me, my Green Lantern always.
Wait! I know who it is. May I? Sorry. Yeah. Do a preamble, please.
It's Mike Green Lantern forever and ever, always, amen, is?
Elijah Wood.
There it is. No, it's Kyle Rayner. Back in the day, because he was the Green Lantern, when Superman introduced him, it was roughly Hal Jordan's introduction, but it was Kyle Rayner. And they made his hair brown, so they just kind of like put the two characters together. He's an artist, but he still ran into Abin Sur and all that stuff. And if you were going to do that, and also there might be merit, and if you do your Green Lantern core movie... Having this Green Lantern, there's so many of them. You could have it be in the same universe, and you're just following different Green Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Angel Bismarck Curiel is in Pose. I hope I said his last name right. He plays little Poppy in Pose, and he's really good, and I think he'd be a really good Kyle Rayner.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know,
with Sterling K. Brown as his tough mentor, John Stewart.
That'd be cool. Yeah. And but you need to like show a picture of
and
how.
Then Hal Jordan's the bad guy.
That could be cool. That he turned.
Really, you know, piss off Jeff Johns.
Ooh, you know what'd be fun is if John Stewart's your like lead.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Kyle's your lead. John's mentoring him, and it's like, yeah, we need a lot of human ones because we have one Human Lantern who turned and he keeps coming back to Earth, and like, yeah. it's a big problem. Yeah. Like, we don't know what to do about it. And they're like, actually, we're just gonna keep kind of scooping up humans because they end up being good.
Yeah,
this one turned, then he becomes a hero again. You know, he does a classic arc. He redeems himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dies redeeming himself, so that way we feel all good about it.
And
again.
Then he becomes the Spectre for a season, and then he takes over the whole show from everybody else.
He turns into the literal hand of God.
Yes. He looked cool. To be fair, he did look
cool. My first thought was, white guys are always failing up.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I wonder if the
thought being topical.
I think that I wonder if the bit was like, what do we do with Hal Jordan? Well, Spectre has a lot of green in his costume, so let's just.
And no one really. Can you anybody name him? Jim Corrigan. Couldn't hear what you said over there. It's Hal Jordan now. That's who it is.
Bingo, bingo, bongo. They did. They used to do in front of their DC animated movies these little shorts, and the Spectre got a short that was really cool.
I'm trying to think of who would be a Hal, like a really good Hal Jordan actor.
Scott Eastwood.
If you want someone that, I'm trying to say this in a nice way, someone who dies very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Chandler could actually be pretty good as Hal Jordan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you wanted an older Hal Jordan, I honestly think Michael Douglas. Right. I think, honestly, if you wanted, if you went the whole Ant-Man route, that he was the Green Lantern in the '60s, which isn't a bad take.
If he was Alan Scott.
By the way, 100%, and I'm such a fucking nerd, I can't get it out of my head. Every time I watch The Good Place, I'd love to see Ted Danson as Alan Scott.
He'd be very good.
Like, especially on these shows, if he's hanging out with John Wesley Shipp as Jay Garrick, like, I just, every time I see Ted Danson, it's like, we missed the boat. You should have been a superhero. We didn't do that shit back when you were, like, yeah, doing the Cheers days.
I mean, he was doing blackface on stage.
Well, you know, let's...
We've forgotten about that, huh?
Yeah. Now he's a national treasure. Yeah. So he gets a pass now. But, like, just watch him on Good Place. It's like, you'd be such a good, like... Because in Stargirl, they're talking about having the JSA. It's like, mm-hmm. We need to cast this guy's chin as a superhero, man. Like, come on.
At least the chin.
At least the chin.
Just model it. Get it in a computer quick before it's gone.
Yeah. He's so like, Alan, and my brain always goes to Alan Scott, and it's just, do it, man. Fucking Crisis Infinite Earth is coming up. Have him.
Help me out here.
Yeah.
Stark kids from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Not Kit Harington.
Richard Madden. For Jordan? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd say. That's my vote. There's my legitimate vote.
Yeah.
But he's in Eternals.
He's in Eternals right now. And
like, that wasn't supposed to be in humans, but they messed all that up.
Yes, they did. But now we're going to get it again, probably. Man, who would be the A number one, A plus, Hal Jordan?
It's easy. It's on the tip of your tongue. Here it goes. Wait. Anson Mount is not... awful choice.
It's not.
He's on Star Trek Discovery.
The worst choice. I still think Ryan Reynolds could work in a better movie. And they were talking about Bradley Cooper, and I think he'd be really good.
He would be.
And they were also talking about him for Barry Allen, and it's like, missed opportunity, because that would have been, I don't know if it would have done better than Green Lantern, but it's like, mm-hmm. You should have tried.
Yeah. But I'm interested to see how this all unfurls. Gang, yes. We want to hear from you what other... how you want to see this Green Lantern show play out. Supermax said, I'd love a full space story like Green Lantern Earth One or Morrison's Green Lantern, where it's a creepy origin and they're full space cop. That'd be cool. Danny M. writes, I want to see Kyle Rayner Green Lantern show. He is half Hispanic, so it would be great to see someone like me up on the screen wielding a ring. Also, all the other lanterns like Hal, John, every guy, even Guy, can... treat him like a rookie. Then in later seasons, we see Simon, Jessica, and Kyle show them the ropes. Growth, a Green Lantern Academy show may be very cool. There we go. I read that really poorly, but you get the gist of what I was saying.
The gist.
But let us know what you thought over our Discord, which you could join for. There's a puppy getting up right now. For as low as $5 a month at patreon.com, you can get our show Super TV Showdown, where we talk about Crisis on Infinite Earths. We're doing early reviews for Watchmen, so go check that out. Talk about Harley Quinn on DC Universe, as well as Titans and all their original programming. We will be talking about of this show over there. So don't miss out. Make sure you check it out today and support when you can. We appreciate it. And check out all of our content at youtube.com/onlystupidanswers. DJ, where can people find you?
At DJ Talks Trash, every place that matters.
At Sam Basher for me and at Only Stupid Answers.
You ain't got the house from stupid.
Bing, bang, boom. DJ, any final thoughts?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. We're going to get you on a roller coaster one of these days.
I've been on them. I don't like them.
You haven't been on a good one. Space Mountain is actually really good, but we'll get you on a on a different one.
And Hulk, everybody loved Hulk.
I don't know what that is.
Because you don't live in Florida.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Bye.